Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a glorious place to look forward to, and we're so mindful of the fact that, Lord, that you've gone and prepared it for us. And Lord, as we wait for that what great and awesome day when you call us home, Lord, may we be a prepared people, Lord, doing your will on this earth. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If you'd like to, I've only got two verses to read for our scripture reading today, and that's Luke chapter 6. Verses 12 and 13. And we read, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose whom he also named apostles. Now, if you turn to Jeremiah 22. Jeremiah 22. And we read there, verse 21, it says, I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidest, I will not hear. This has been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. Now we're going to be looking at what it means to seek God's guidance, and this afternoon we're going to be looking at, why do we fail at times to hear what God's got to say? You know, why do we fail to hear? Now, Henry Thoreau is a great man. He said once, it takes two to speak the truth, one to speak, the other to listen. And that's how it works. And the prophet Jeremiah, he repeatedly reminded his people that while God had been speaking to them, they hadn't heard him. They weren't listening. You know, he had spoken and spoken and spoken, but they didn't hear. Jeremiah 22, 21, he says, I spoke unto thee, and pay attention to these words, in thy prosperity, but thou saidest, I will not hear. This has been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. You know, we often have the same problem. See, the Lord may be speaking to us, but we don't hear him. We can't hear his voice. And in a time of prosperity, a time of peace and security, we see God's children, they wouldn't listen to him. In fact, they didn't want to hear. You know, he said, there that thou saidest, I will not hear. See, they didn't want to hear what God had to say. Yet the prosperity there speaks to us as God's abundance upon a person's life. And that was how they were right from their youth. They would not obey the voice of God. Now, God speaks even when we don't hear his voice. He's speaking to us. He speaks to us through the Bible. He speaks to us through the preaching we hear. He speaks to us in the still small voice of our conscience. And the ordinance is when we have the Lord's Supper. He speaks to us. He's always at work around us. He's always speaking to us. And the question is, well, why then do we sometimes fail to hear him as he does? You know, one significant obstacle is that we often consider the fact of listening to be a passive experience. We assume we can simply sit back, we can absorb everything that's being said, and that's not how it is. See, good listening is an active endeavor. Good listening involves two things, and that's attitude and action. Now, Webster's dictionary defines listening as to make a conscious effort to hear, to attend closely so as to hear, to give heed, to take advice as to listen to a warning. You know, the armies in the old days, they had what they called was a listening post. In other words, they would go as far as close as they could to the enemy's lines and hide themselves, and they would listen and try to detect the movements of the enemy. Now, to listen means to be active, not passive. It means to pay attention. And all of us have been guilty, I'm sure every one of us have been guilty of having someone talking to us and we're not there, amen? Go on, be honest. Be honest. We're not really hearing what is being said. And we end up saying, oh, sorry, what was that again? And all of us, I'm sure, have noticed when that happens to us, we know that they weren't listening. We understand that. And to listen is to hear. And they both have other meanings, but as a verb, they're the same. Now, verbs, again, they're doing words. And these are what we call action verbs here. So what can we do to hear God when he speaks to us? Well, there's four things we're going to look at. We've got to approach him confidently. We have got to have an attitude of patience. We've got to actively listen. And we've got to have absolute dependence upon the Holy Spirit at work in our life. In Luke 6:12 again, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named the apostles. See, even Jesus, in choosing the apostles, had to go and pray, and he had to listen, and he needed to hear who and what God was choosing to do. Now, if he needed to do that, how much more do we? Amen? That's the truth. So firstly, we've got to approach God confidently. You know, we will have difficulty listening to God if we come to him with uncertainty. If we come doubting that he's going to speak, we're not going to hear from him. Instead, we're to approach him confidently. We're to approach him expectantly. And we're to anticipate that he wants to communicate with us. He does want to talk with us. He does want to communicate with us every day in our life. And this, for us, expresses our faith in him. See, it shows that we believe in his promises. Do you believe this? Are you able to stand upon these promises? Of course we can. And when we come to him with the right attitude, we approach him confidently, that's what we're doing. You know, we demonstrate that God can't lie. You know, God isn't going to scold anybody who comes to him wanting to hear his direction for their life. He's going to welcome them with open arms. He delights in leading us. He delights in guiding us to the position where he can use us and bless us for his glory. Isn't it amazing? The Lord needed direction. It said it came to pass in those days. So those days were the days when Jesus, he had been a rabbi, he'd been preaching and teaching the word of God. He had been rejected from Nazareth. He had cast out demons. He'd healed Peter's mother-in-law. He ministered all through Galilee. You see that all in chapter 4 of Luke. He was a healer. He healed many sick people. The lepers were cleansed. The paralytics were walking. He sat and ate with sinners. You know, a few disciples had been called to follow him, Peter, James, and John. That's all in chapter 5. He worked on the Sabbath. He healed on the Sabbath, chapter 6, in those days. Days when all the talk was about some radical rabbi who was going around the countryside. He was doing all that a rabbi wasn't supposed to be doing. He was drawing attention to himself for the wrong reasons. You see, rabbis love to draw attention to themselves, but it was for their own self-righteousness. Jesus had the people's attention because God was receiving the glory for what he did, and that's a big difference. You think of the situation, you think how busy he must have been. Now, there's times I was sharing with someone this morning, man, yesterday I just said to the devil, I said, I can't do anymore. I have to sit down. I have to have a rest. And I think, man, look how busy the Lord was. He never stopped. And yet he wearied just like we did, amen? He faced all the things we face in our bodies. See how he was needed by the people. They were seeking him out. And all of this busyness, Jesus needed to hear what his heavenly Father was saying. See, it says there, he went out into a mountain to pray. That's what he did. He made a decision. He says, no, I need to hear, and he went. See, in all our busyness, we too need to hear what God is saying to us. And we need, with all confidence and faith, to go out and pray. Find a place, quiet, maybe hop in the car one day and go somewhere you've never been before and settle down with the word and pray. See, we need to leave whatever the pressures are, and we need to go with all confidence and get alone with God. Amen? That's what we need to do. That's exactly what we need to do. We go to Him with the full belief that all our trust can be put in Him. All of it. Proverbs 3:25 says, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken." See, when we're confident in God, when we trust Him and believe in Him and stand upon His promises, it means we get an assurance in our minds and a firm belief in our hearts that the truth and the reality is God can be trusted no matter what we face. No matter what. He can be trusted. In other words, we can place every hope we have in His hands. Everyone. You know what the world tells us? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. You know what God says? Give me all your eggs. That's what He says. Give them all. You won't waste anything. See, He says we can go to Him in faith knowing He desires to have a conversation. He wants to speak with us. He wants to move in amongst our lives. You know, Galatians 3:26 is a beautiful little verse. It says, "For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." You know, if you're saved, you're one of His children. You know, He's a loving Father and He wants to share the wisdom He has with His children. That's you and me. So what father would turn his child away? You have to be pretty hard. You have to be pretty tough not to share what you know with your children, amen? Now, God wanted the church to know the manifold wisdom of God, which He purposed, who? In His Son, Christ our Lord. In whom Ephesians 3 tells us we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. You see, approaching God confidently is not only to talk to Him, it's to hear from Him. That's what listening is, to hear from Him. And that's called faith. And not only give Him our requests, but to hear His counsel. That's what we need. Psalm 46:10, we all know this one. It instructs us very simply, be still and know that I am God. To hear God, see, we've got to come quietly to Him. We've got to make a decision. We've got to allow Him to do some of the talking. Now, there's nothing wrong with, you know, keeping prayer lists, but a person's devotional time should also include more than just giving Him what we think we need. Amen? Just giving Him our requests. We should take time to hear what He says to us. And we can approach Him confidently, in faith, believing. He desires to have a conversation with us. Secondly, we've got to have an attitude of patience. Psalm 40 verse 1 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord." And look what it says. "And He inclined unto me and heard my cry." You can imagine the God of heaven, He inclined. In other words, He bent over. It's a picture of Him leaning over, wanting to hear what the psalmist was saying. Isn't that beautiful? What a great God we have. So to hear God, this is where most people fail to hear what He has to say. And that is waiting patiently. We're all patient, aren't we, brothers and sisters? And we don't miss a step. We never, ever want to hurry up. Amen? Never. We're always patient. I was so patient this morning, I left church without an order of service, home without an order of service or anything. Saying to my wife, "Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, we've got to get to church." Remember that we did that last week, didn't we? And we were 45 minutes too early. We've got to wait patiently. And none of us really enjoy waiting. But you know what? God very rarely explains or tells us everything at once. That's very rare that He does that. Sometimes He withholds information until you and I are prepared to turn the antennas up and listen. You know, when we're faced with decisions, you know, great and small, our nature is we want the answer straight away. The tendency is let's rip in there, let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll go and do what we've already made up our minds to do. See, we've already got our plan of attack and we want God on that agenda instead of us being on His agenda. Now, Jeremiah 7:23 says, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice and I will be your God and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. And look what he says then. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of the evil heart. And look what happened. And they went backward and not forward. Backward and not forward. See, we've got to wait, and we've got to wait patiently to hear from the Lord. And when we make up our minds to carry on according to our own counsel and wisdom, when we fail to wait and seek and hear what God has to say, it tells us there we're going to go backwards instead of forwards. Now, we know God's ways are not our ways, and our ways are not God's ways. Proverbs 14:12 tells us, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 21:12 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You know, and in our lives, we need to foster an attitude of being patient. You know, and you know, that takes work. And it does, it takes a lot of work to hear what God is saying to us. It just doesn't fall into our laps. And, you know, you just can't let the Bible fall open and put your finger on a verse and say, this is what God wants me to do. Now, I shared with you once, I did that once, and it wasn't, and I found the verse that God used on my heart, and it was Isaiah 9:18, and it was, for wickedness burneth as a fire, it shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle the thickets of the forest, and shall mount up like the lifting of smoke. All I wanted was encouragement. You see, when we do things like that, that borders on superstition. That really does. It has nothing to do with what I wanted or needed to hear. See, that's playing potluck games. You know, we're told to ask and knock and seek, and God promises the door shall be opened unto you. But to ask, knock, and seek, that all means we're looking for an answer of the direction we need to go. See, if we want answers and directions for our lives, we have to be patient. We have to wait on the Lord. That means we're going to be still. That means we're going to be attentive. We're going to be aware that God's presence is at work in our life. He never leaves. He never goes. We don't have to ask for him to come to us. We need to come to him. And it all comes back to the attitude, the mental, the emotional position we place ourselves into. And one of ours is waiting on God. That's what we've got to do. Warren Wisby said, we must never think that patience is complacency. Patience is endurance in action. It is not the Christian sitting in a rocking chair waiting for God to do something. It is a soldier on the battlefield keeping on going when the going is tough. That's patience. That's waiting. See, it's a runner on a track refusing to give up. No matter how many times they stumble, they're going to get to the end of the race. And for many Christians, and too many of them, the tendency is to quit when everything becomes difficult. Now, Jerry Falwell, he was at Bible college, and he had to have a ministry. And he went to the superintendent there, and he says, what can I do? And the superintendent gave him a Sunday school class with 24 boys in it. And he said, that's your ministry while you're at Bible college. He was so excited. Now, he got there to that ministry. You know, in 6 or 7 weeks' time, he helped that ministry grow to 10 boys. And he was discouraged. And he went back to the superintendent and he said, listen, this isn't what God wants me to do. And the superintendent said, well, listen, pack your bags and run home to mummy, because God can't use a quitter. And we're not to quit. We're to keep going. And too many have the tendency, if we haven't heard, we're waiting, we get impatient, and then we just go and do what we want to do. Now, one man said, it's always too soon to quit. And what a great advice that is. You know, work, family, marriage, all the decisions that we have to make, we're to wait patiently on God for them. Wait for his answers. You know, if we just read our Bibles more, if we just studied our Bibles more, we would find 8 out of 10 answers we already got, amen? It's in there. It's written for us. If we just were obedient to what we know to be obedient to, we'd have the answers without having to worry about anything. But his Jesus, he prayed all night before he chose the 12 disciples. And I thought to myself, man, when was the last time I prayed even for an hour or two concerning a decision I had to make? When was the last time I bowed my head and just waited for even half an hour to hear what God had to say? I'll give you a quiz to do when you get home. Bow your head, close your eyes, and stay there as long as you can to hear from God. And when you open them, and 2 minutes has gone by, you'll understand what I'm talking about. You know, in art or sculpture, the term attitude is the posture or the disposition of or action of what where the figure is placed. And that question is, how do we place ourselves before the greatest artist of all? The one who sculptured life itself. Is it with patience? Do we come with a stillness, an open heart, an open mind to hear his counsel? Or have we already made our mind up and we're going to go ahead and do it anyway? Leads us to the third point, and that is to actively listen to God. And that means more than picking up the vibes, brothers and sisters. It means more than just hoping to hear something. Colossians 3:15-16 tell us, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. See, to actively listen to God is to allow the truth of God's word to be deeply, abundantly overflowing in us. And that happens as we read and meditate on the scriptures. See, it's the Lord's word, and it says it is to dwell. In other words, when you dwell somewhere, it means you remain, or you live, you abide. It's not about coming and going. It's about being there. See, it's the power of God in us. The word of Christ reveals him to us. It's the word he speaks to us. He communicates to our soul. It's through his word that he speaks to us of our hope, of our salvation, about our duty, our service. That's where God is revealed to us. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, it's Jesus Christ. It's what it is. The whole Word of God is about him. And it must not just go in and pass away, but it's got to dwell, stay put, be alive in us. See, this is Christ ministering to us. This is what allows the peace of God to rule our hearts. And that's what we're told to let happen. You know, to turn away and close our ears from what God's trying to say to us is going to lead us to unhappiness, is going to lead us to unrest in our souls, and sooner or later, before we even know it, we'll be out of fellowship with him. And to actively listen to God is to have that desire. Do we really, really want to know him? Honestly, do we really want to know him? Not just about him, but really want to know him. You see, I can know all about someone without really knowing them. That's so true. And you get to know someone how? When you listen to what they say. And it's not just sitting back and doing nothing. It's where we listen and we pay genuine attention to what the other person's saying. That's listening. I'll give you a couple of things about listening. Don't grab the conversation. In other words, say, oh yeah, what about me, for instance? No, don't grab the conversation, just listen. Secondly, don't let your gaze wander from the other person's face except momentarily. Thirdly, you've got to validate the feelings of the other person. You know, you ask and you say, yeah, I see what you mean. Fourthly, don't interrupt when they're talking. Fifthly, don't try and top the other person's story. Oh, what about me? Yeah. Six, don't criticize. 7, you ask appropriate questions. What happened? How did you feel? And 8, don't argue. 8 really good things to be able to listen to another person. And listening to God is being still. You set your attention on it. You agree with him. You don't interrupt him. You don't criticize what he's got to say. You look to him. You don't ask him the wrong questions. You ask the appropriate questions. What do you want me to do? Don't argue with him. You know how we argue with the Lord is when we do it our own way. Amen. That's how. And if we're prepared to do those 8 things with the Lord, listen actively for his voice, you will hear what he has to say to you. Because it isn't about what we do for ourselves, it's about what we are prepared to allow God to do in and through us and for us. So we're going to approach him confidently. We have an attitude of patience. We actively listen. And the last one, we have absolute dependence upon his Spirit to lead us and guide us. In John 14:26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." You know, apart from his work, we are helpless to hear from God. And whether God speaks to us through scripture, through circumstances, through prayer, through other people, only the Holy Spirit enables us to hear what's being said. The Spirit teaches us new things. He helps us to remember the old things. And we have to depend upon him to lead us into all truth. He will remind us of what Christ has already told us. He will help us to understand what the Lord wants of us. And he will help us understand what God wants to do in and through us. That's why Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." What a promise! Because the flesh is still real, it's still alive. If we want victory over it, we walk in the Spirit. See, it says the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. We've all been in that spot, amen. I wish I hadn't have said that. I wish I hadn't have done that. And if we're not depending upon the Holy Spirit leading us and walking in the direction he leads, we're going to do the opposite to what we should be doing. Listen, you tell me how many broken families, how many rebellious children, how many poor people have come about simply because they refuse to walk in the Spirit of God. I'm talking about Christian families, broken homes, rebellious Christian children, people who have lost it all. Why? Because they refuse to walk in the Spirit of God. Now, Psalm 1:1, we all know that, don't we? Can we open there? We'll all read it together, because I'm just about finished, isn't it? We all there? Amen. Let's read it together. Thus saith the Lord, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Listen, when we're not walking in the Spirit of God, that means we're not in tune with him. Do you know at that moment, listen carefully, everyone just be quiet and just listen. Can you hear that music? Can you hear those voices? Can you hear someone singing? If you had a radio and an antenna, you would, amen? Because that's what's going on in this room at the moment. Why can't we hear it? Because we're not tuned in. That's why. And it's the same with God. The same thing. We can't hear him because we need to be in touch with the receiver. And to hear God, we need to be in tune and walking with the Holy Spirit. And he's either a pilot light or a flame. He's either barely flickering or he's a brilliant fire. He's the greatest unused power in the world, and that is the Spirit of the living God. And without him, walking in him, according to his directions, we're going to walk in the flesh and we'll have no dependence upon God and we'll never hear what God's got to say to us. We never will. Now, God's promise, Ephesians 1:13 and 14, until the day God calls us home with for him, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And to hear what God has got to say to us, we must be walking in the Spirit, depending on the Spirit, because without him, we won't hear what God is saying. Now Luke 6:12 says to us, and it came to pass in those days, he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Now remember, and remember this, Jesus spent all night in prayer just before he had to choose the 12 disciples who would go with him everywhere. And what did Jesus want? He wanted the counsel of his heavenly Father on all the decisions he made. And so should we. And if we want to hear from the Lord, we've got to imitate the Lord's example. We've got to be willing to pray with faith, patience, expectancy, with the right attitude and in humility. So when God speaks, we listen attentively and we prepare to submit ourselves to whatever he tells us to do. Do you know that obedience pleases our Heavenly Father greatly? And he desires to bless us for listening. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. Lord, simple, but how effective it is. Father, help us to be attentive to what you say to us. Help us to be patient, to be actively listening to you, Lord, to not want to do things our way, but to wait upon you. Father, we praise thee and we thank thee for the wonderful truths of your word. And Lord, may we walk in the Spirit so we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. These things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.